But right now, I think it's time for me to bring in the dogs.
It is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com. With us today, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner and chief vet at said Millerton Veterinary Practice. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Good morning, Jill. Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning.
Good morning, thermometer that isn't behaving properly.
And what was the temperature?
67, 66, something. Something that it wasn't.
Oh, so okay. Glad to see you were listening, Joe.
61.
Yeah, of course.
No.
66.
66.
Yeah, all right. So I was right the first time. Don't do that to me. All right, Mike in Camden, New Jersey. Last week, this is not a joke, last week it got up to 110 degrees where I live. And his thermometer was working. I've heard we're supposed to watch that our dog's paws don't get burned. So how are you supposed to take them out for a walk? Am I supposed to let him do his business on the sidewalk instead of the street? Is that any cooler? And how can you tell if their paws are too hot in the first place? My pit bull Eddie didn't seem bothered, but then again he had a tumor once and I only found out because the vet felt it during a checkup.
So I'm not sure about that last statement. But
nor am I. I just read them.
Okay. So I think that if the street is dark, then it would tend to just get hotter than the sidewalk if it's white. So, yeah, I think that that's a good assumption. I think that everybody needs to have a place that is not sidewalk or street to walk in that temperature, or you're going to have to put boots on, you know. So if you can, if you put your hand down, or you go out only in the early morning and the evening when things are cooled off. So if you put your hand on the sidewalk and it feels like it's going to burn you, you know how that feeling when you're at the beach and you forgot your flip-flops and you're in your bare feet and you're there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you cannot walk on the sand. So then I can be pretty sure that it's going to peel some layers off of your dog's toes, the bottoms of the toes. So, you know, those boots are made for winter usually, but you could, if you needed to walk 5 minutes to get to the park, you certainly could put the boots on for a short period of time. You also could maybe carry some water to wet those paws down. That might help. But my advice is when it's predicted to be that hot is really to just go early and maybe later in the day if you can help it.
Yeah, what we used to do when it was just that hot, you know, if someone was carryable, that was one thing. In this case, that wouldn't work. But
right.
Early, late, and...
Then maybe you've just got one middle of the day that you need to really deal with. But it can be really difficult with an older dog if you live in the city and you've got no green spot to get onto. I think it's just a matter of if you've got really hot sidewalk, you've got to bring something out for them to stand on at least, and put it next to their favorite hydrant or whatever it is that they use, you know, an old towel, something for them to stand on for a couple of minutes. Also bring along some water to wet down their feet.
Yeah, and what you said first is also important, which is have a place where, and again, I'm thinking of my really inconvenient loft in the city where there wasn't anything, but I did have a route where the sun wasn't as hot. You know, there's always a side of the street where it's not as...
Or shaded by the buildings.
Shaded
yeah.
by the buildings or something.
Yeah.
And so
right.
you basically do pre-reconnaissance and hope that you don't have too many days like that. But you have
and
to
the,
know...
Especially when the sun is straight down and you've got no shade along the edge of the building.
You just have to skip it. But that's timeable. I just remember it being a factor. You know, people get so attuned, or I shouldn't say that. Let's just say wedded or cemented to their environment, and they don't think when they take the dog out of that environment that there's a whole different set of problems or issues in a different. There's literally the grass is always greener. So I remember
cooler.
That. Well, so you think, except that when I first brought my dogs up to the country, it's like, oh, green grass, plenty of space. Open. I let them go, right? Who wouldn't, right?
I guess.
I guess. Exactly. But, well, they were city dogs. So,
so they left?
Yeah. Yeah. Adios. So, but it wasn't something, again, it wasn't something that I thought about. So,
right.
You know, for Mike in Camden, it's more, all right, do some reconnaissance so that the next time this happens, you've got a plan.
Right.
All right. Sam and Aubrey in Kingston, who don't have that problem, except our kitten ate a bunch of feathers this morning. They were small pillow feathers and hopefully won't cause a horrible problem. But is there something you can feed a kitten to kind of move things along in that department? Or should we be taking her to the vet?
My kitten stole my husband's sandwiches off the a wrap off the counter and ate them this morning. They are, I don't know why they're so hungry. They act as if I never feed them. But I can imagine a kitten eating feathers or anything else that they might deem that it is that is food.
What kind of wrap?
Oh, I think it was, he makes that taco stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so now we'll have some diarrhea this afternoon, I guess. Something else to clean off the floor.
That's right. I just want to point out to people, and this is the great thing about being a vet, you still have, it's like if the kitten gets into the taco stuff, it still gets diarrhea, and you still have to clean it up. There's still no magic.
That's true.
as someone who's spent the better part of the last, lifetime cleaning up, it's just nice to know that that doesn't change based on skill level.
True. No, I could bring them to work with me, though, and just leave them there, which I feel like doing now, but I don't think I will.
Or you could just drop them off along the way and leave them someplace. All right.
Feathers. Certainly we would never recommend allowing them to eat feathers, but they are, it is something that if they're chewed up well enough, they probably will not cause a problem, but there can be some sharp edges there. I think if they're acting fine, you have to watch them very closely, basically. If you see any vomiting, you need to, unless it's just all of the soft feather material, then bring them to the veterinarian. If you're just seeing vomiting of bile, then it could be potentially a blockage because most of it is not going to be digestible. So depending, it's always, with us, when people call about a toxin, eating chocolate, it's all about how much did they eat.
Right.
So I'm not sure that I would feed anything to move things along in this case because those, and I think we're probably talking about those little tiny down soft feathers.
Right. Yes, you are. So, they're small pillow feathers. So
it'll probably be all soft and won't poke anything, but could stop things up. So I would not give, for instance, a cathartic. We don't want to cause diarrhea in this situation because if you increase the peristalsis of the gut with a blockage, then you're in trouble. So you can get a rupture of the gut, of the intestine.
No, what I'm wondering is it kind of like, is it hairball theory? How hairballs in at least cats, sort of look like the esophagus? They wind up.
Mm-hmm. In that shape?
Yeah. And I'm wondering, would the feathers, in theory, do the same thing?
If they come back up, if they do come back up, yes. But if they pass through the pylorus,
then no.
Into the small intestine, they won't likely come back up. Unless there's a blockage, in which case they might come back up, which isn't a good thing. So I think that I would definitely call my veterinarian so that they can be on alert in case you have problems. But if you think it's a small amount of feathers, if it's, four or five of those little downy feathers, then I think that you wait and watch and feed normally. If you've got laxatone for hairballs, wouldn't be a bad idea to give a little laxatone. It also has some other names, too, but it's that tube that comes with the gel inside, and it's for hairball treatment.
And is it fine for kittens? Because it also doesn't say how old the kitten is.
It should be. Be okay. You just have to down the dose based on their weight. So if it's a half-sized cat, you're going to give half what it says on the tube.
Right. All right.
A little tiny kitten, you should be calling your vet.
Right.
So, caveat there.
Right.
If you have got a kitten under 12 weeks, definitely call.
Right. No, absolutely. And that's that. This is why this is why these questions are harder than they look sometimes, because, you know, one person's kitten is another person's almost cat, and another person's infant. So
yes, and you can anyone who's trained as a receptionist at a veterinary office can testify that it takes you 6 months or 8 months or a year to learn those questions. They come back and ask, and I send them back with five other questions.
I know, exactly. But that's, you know, in life, it's really interesting, and I will go off on a minor tangent. I don't know if screens make it worse at this point, because everybody's going now to the next layer, to the next layer. They're just clicking their way down into Wonderland, but or down the rabbit hole. But you have to, I find that if anyone calls me just about the simplest thing, I'm going to miss my deadlines. All right. There are still eight things and that you have to ask to find out what the coherence is like. Right, how old, how much, and it's so it does. It takes forever, apparently, to learn that.
Right, yeah.
Maggie in Danbury, recently I went on a hike with my two golden labs. Afterwards, we were all super thirsty. The water I had for them had gotten hot in the car, but the water I had for myself was nice and cold. So I gave them some of mine, and they slurped it all up. Then I kind of panicked because there was watermelon juice in the water. And even though watermelon seems innocuous, you hear about those dogs that die from eating like one grape. Is fruit-infused water dangerous? Also, I had put melon in my water for the electrolytes. It got me thinking about whether dogs need their electrolytes replenished after sweating the way we do. If so, what would be a good way to do that?
So the fruit to avoid, of course, is grapes and raisins. Watermelon is fine. Excuse me, it's got a lot of sugar in it, but it's fine. And I think that's a great question about the electrolytes. If you have dogs who are really doing a lot of work and work that they're not used to, there are various powdered electrolyte solutions that you can add to the water, and you can get them online.
So it's like doggy Gatorade or doggy powder?
Pretty much. The thing is, you're never sure. I wouldn't try it first. When you really need it, you want to try it when you don't need it so much, because you don't know whether your dog's going to drink it or not. So you don't want to put anything in water that's going to discourage them from drinking when they really need the water. So it's something that you could order and try a little bit at home, not only to see if they'll drink it, but to get them used to it. Put a tiny little bit in their water at home and then gradually increasing that amount. Animals will, just like people, usually imbibe or consume anything that they're accustomed to. They know their taste buds recognize the flavor. So that is a great question. But I always remind people to avoid garlic and onions and grapes and raisins and chewing gum that has xylitol in it, and peanut butter sometimes now. Sugar-free peanut butter has xylitol. Xylitol can kill dogs.
Yeah, and so everybody should just really be conscious about reading ingredients. Just aware. Read the ingredients. Xylitol is bad for dogs.
No chewing gum in the water, but that was a good aside there. But that's a great question about electrolytes, and people do take them sometimes to agility trials, et cetera, when their dogs are working really hard and it's hot sun. Nice to be able to replenish.
But you've got to be able to manage it also. I happen to have one dog that's just a major, you know, he just sucks water. But he likes to water himself a couple of times a day.
Mm-hmm.
But not, then I have other ones who are just little dainty drinkers throughout the day. So I would just be curious about for the water sucker, you know, how much
electrolytes to give?
Well, you'd want to watch. I mean, you'd certainly want to watch that, because, I mean, literally, this one can suck up a bowl, and I don't know how. You know.
Yeah. So it comes with a packet that you put in a certain amount of water, and so if the dog is consuming that amount of water, then it'll be safe. So, in other words, that amount of solution.
Right.
So as long as you've got enough water for the electrolytes, and it'll say right on there, add to, you know, a whole packet to 1 gallon. So if you've got a water bowl that holds a quart, you're going to do a quarter of the packet.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah.
So, but, and I know that
good,
we just...
Good point.
Right. Just because you don't dump the whole thing in and then walk away. Once again, nothing in life lends itself to dumping it in and walking away.
And not reading their directions.
Yeah, not reading the directions.
which is a big fault of mine.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm the worst. I only go back to it after. My biggest discovery was literally about Comet, 5 decades on. Like, really? You're supposed to do that first? Go figure. Hunter in Brooklyn. Hey, so I live in one of those neighborhoods of Brooklyn that was hit by a power outage and a recent heat wave. It was a nightmare for a bunch of reasons, but the worst was when Trudy, our 6-year-old cat, started panting and we couldn't figure out how to cool her down. I thought maybe we could wet her fur, but Trudy hates water more than any cat alive, and my girlfriend was worried that it could stress her out to the point of having a heart attack or something. We even considered giving her a haircut because she's a long-haired cat. Trudy survived, but now we want to know, what should we have done?
I think wetting her down. If she's really, if you're in that situation, and I have had that situation myself, way, way back when I was in vet school and could not afford air conditioning, and we had a car, and we were in a traffic jam on our way home or back to Indiana for vet school. I don't remember what year it was. And our poor Mingus was on the floor in the car. We tried to get as much breeze in, but we couldn't move. We couldn't get out of the traffic jam on Route 80. And he was panting and really in bad shape. And we did have some water. We were able to wet him down. But what you could do is put the water on a cloth. So get a pretty damp cloth and just wipe him down with it. That would help. Instead of immersing him in the water. So I know in that kind of heat, it's hard to have cold water, but you can, if you've got some ice cubes, or you can run to the store and get ice and put some water in a bowl. Make sure that you've got water ahead of time always in some jugs, and that you can have access to ice. And then you can dip your rag in, and even if you don't have ice water, just water is going to help to cool them down.
Do you just wrap them or wipe them, or...?
You can continue to wipe them down. They love to have their faces wiped with a damp cloth. So even cats who don't like water like that, they're going to dissipate heat, remember, through the ears and the feet.
Okay.
That's where the sweat glands are. The sweat glands are mostly in the feet, but they will dissipate heat through the mouth and the ears and the bottoms of the feet. So even if you can dip those feet or have her stand in the sink with some water, or just take that rag and just keep wiping her down, just as if you're petting her.
Right. And
No dripping or running or hissing water.
No. And what about you could do little poppy, your little shiatsu poppy. You could take your rag, right, or your damp cloth, and mm-hmm. you could wipe the paws, you know, paw
absolutely.
One, paw two, paw three,
and
paw four.
And if you've got ice water, you can dribble a little bit of ice water into the mouth. That will really cool. If she gets some cold water in her gut, that'll cool the inside and keep that core body temperature down.
But dribble is the key.
Yeah. You don't want to stress. Stressed cat is hot.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I was so, it is so imprinted that I have to. During the heat wave it was either California or Northern California, earlier this summer. My sister was out there, and she was with a friend with her daughter. Did I tell you about dropping the cheese water?
Cheese water? No.
That's what I said. This is absolutely memorable. Please, folks, don't try this at home. She was cooling the dog. It was a smush-faced dog, so I guess it was a little Boston, a bulldog or something with a, you know.
Brachycephalic dogs really get hot, yes, and brachycephalic cats as well.
And you would think that wrapping, using a cool towel would work on that too, no?
Yes.
Okay. So, instead she kept basically dropping pieces of cheese into her cold water.
To try to get her to drink it?
Yes.
Does cheese dissipate through the flavor dissipate through
the water?
I have
no idea. But
I don't think it does.
I was just this cheese.
Oh, you know, it was an idea.
It was definitely an idea, and I just was trying to figure out what begat that idea. I was more for the, could we try a cloth and a cool down? Let's try cool down and cloth, because that does tend to work. Have you ever, with dogs, taken, and is this an okay thing to do? Take an ice cube and run it around their lips? Or
you can do that, sure.
And
I haven't done that, but you could do that. Anything to cool off where the you know, what you will do if you do it too much. So you run the ice cube around so it melts a little bit and they get some ice water.
Right.
But you don't want to hold ice on them because then you're going to shut down those peripheral vessels
right.
that are dissipating the heat.
What I have, what I found once with a really panty young puppy was I'd take an ice cube and just sort of pretend I was putting lipstick on their little, you know, just right around their lips and then they're just quick on the pads.
Yeah, and the insides of the flappy part of the ear.
Exactly.
And underneath their bellies,
where there's
between
not,
the hind legs, where there's not as much hair.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that the key thing to know is that that animals don't sweat the same way humans do. So you gotta go to where they do sweat, and
you'll see dogs in the heat. They'll go to the river and they'll just stand there with their feet in there, and it cools them off. It's just cooling all that cooling the feet is super effective.
All right, and I guess the same doesn't hold true. Well, soon we will be out. Soon we'll be out of the hot business. I guess.
Very soon. Too soon.
Well, here we'll be out of the hot business. There are other places in the country where it will continue to be hot. Are you hearing anything more about, we've only got a minute left, so about mosquitoes? Are we okay or anything anyone should do? Or
You're talking about EEE?
Yep.
So, you know, I don't think I'm not hearing anything, excuse me, more than right now, more than the general public, which is that, you know, there have been cases. What I do know is that my understanding is, though, that horses are a dead end host for eastern equine encephalitis.
And what's a dead end host?
So that means that being around horses isn't going to necessarily increase your risk.
Okay.
So the mosquito's not going to bite a sick horse and carry it to people.
Okay.
So they don't, that's not a possibility. So they are infected by the same source of mosquito that we are infected by.
Okay.
So, you know, you just really want to be careful if you're out there and there's a lot of mosquitoes, which right now there aren't, thank goodness. So, you know, when, especially after it rains, et cetera, or if you're in one of those flat areas, doesn't necessarily need to be low-lying, but flat areas, because there are swamps, you know, up high up, like in Warren, has a lot of swamps, then you get the warm weather and you'll get a mosquito hatch. So, you know, be super careful, because it's pretty scary. It's a very scary disease, causing encephalitis.
Yep, and it's one of those, again, be conscientious about your environment. All right, it's always a pleasure, Dr. Cannon. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.